The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's fantastic, phenomenal, always fun, usually somewhat fascinating Friday as we head into the weekend, not being afraid even if the earth gives way or the mountains fall into the sea, because our help comes from the Lord. First, the trouble for so many of us regarding the truth is in the processing department, getting the package from the warehouse to the front door. Faces many obstacles, but the package must be received by us in order for us to enjoy it. Next, we understand that what we think in our minds and what we feel in our hearts needs a bridge of connection. Now, we disagree with name it and claim it as a philosophy, but we do agree with biblical speech. So, nanny, nanny, boo, boo. And then finally, truth plus faith equals results. Just ask God. He demonstrates the power of truth and the power of faith in the life of Jesus. The reason that Jesus showed us is so that we would walk this way. Walk this way.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. How much more? I blew the end line in our intro. So much more. See, it was supposed to be so that we can walk this way, and I didn't do that. That's so much more. I need help. All right, here's the bottom line. We're asking what you think. You can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. It's not really that difficult. It's got David. It's got the little, what is the at thing? I know it's got a name. It's like an thing. I don't know. I don't know what the name of it is.
I always thought it was address.
Yeah. Oh, maybe it is address. I don't know.
No, I feel like it's a fancier word.
I used to always think it was like spaghetti, so I just didn't think much about it. David, spaghetti, David, and he must increase, referring to John 3:30, he must increase, I must decrease, hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. And when you call 972, this is a good one, 445-0770, Terrific T will answer the phone, and it's like you went bowling your first ball and you bowled a strike. Come on. This is your first ball. Strike! Oh, this is going to be a good game. That's all you get. You're just like, okay, that's right, everybody. Look at me. That's right. Okay. All right. Here's the deal. You can do this for praise reports, for prayer requests. You can do this for trivia. You can do this for anything that's going on in your life, some questions you might have, as long as we keep it simple. But the idea behind the show is to be as encouraging as we can and to be as uplifting as we can to one another and before the Lord. That's a very important part of this, is the Lord is with us in this fellowship. This is not your church unless it's the only place you can fellowship, I guess. But we do want you to be blessed by it. That's our big thing. All right, so let me just offer up the first trivia question so we can get that rolling. Why? So just always watch those little things. When people ask you questions, look for those little things. Why were Daniel's three friends thrown into the fiery furnace? Why? Get it? All right. Why? See? The why. That's the big key there. Why were they tossed in? You can call 972-445-0770, or you can text 214-210-8483, website hemustincrease.org. Website hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, that's a place to check out the website. If you feel like giving or the Lord leads you to do that, that's fantastic. If not, don't worry about it. Here's the bottom line. Our show is what it's all about. It's just not professional radio. It's just radio. It's just us. We're just talking. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, kind of. It's the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All right. So we got the trivia question online. We got that going anyway, and then we got that going on. So here's what happened, and here's why I'm going to say it, and this is going to be kind of one of those weird things that you're just going to have to put up with that guy, don't we? Yeah, I guess, for 90 minutes. And by the way, I've never asked anybody on this show, any of the listeners, you don't have to agree with everything I think or say 100%. I would be amazed, since I don't agree with myself 20 years ago, if you agreed with everything I said. We do our best to teach the Bible, to use it from practical terms, and to kind of enjoy the Christian walk. That's our process. If the show is really offensive to you and you really don't like it, I have this massively excellent suggestion. Change the channel. That would solve that for you forever. If it doesn't, where your radio doesn't change the channel, turn it off. That's the other thing. I got in trouble with that one time saying that. It's like, come on. If it's not your thing, that's cool. I mean, you just got to figure out where you fit into it. Let's start off with John 8:32. We cover everything? Pretty much? Okay. John 8:32, this is what the scripture says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Their translation is, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free. That make you, that set you is oftentimes seen as a process. It doesn't have to be a process, but it can be a process. It can be something that takes a bit to take place. In John 17:17, we hear, sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth. So where is the truth found? It's in the word of God. Just John 17:17. It's not in your Bible circled or highlighted. Just because you haven't done it, you should do so. John 17:17. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So when people say, well, the Bible doesn't say it's the truth, it's like, okay. Yes, it does. Your word is truth, okay? This is what Jesus said. And so the truth will make you free, and it could be, like we said, a process. So the key is, how do we take the truth that sets us free, which we know is biblical truth, how do we make that process happen? In other words, that's cool that we're not supposed to have anxiety, and my brain understands that, but my heart is like, yes, but I am filled with anxiety. So what do we do to connect? Because there's kind of a lacking in our processing of the truth. The word is the truth. The word of God, and the truth sets us free. So then if we know the truth, how come we're not more balanced, or how come we're not doing better as Christians? And that is a completely fair and earnest question. In fact, thousands of articles and books have been written just on that subject. If we know the truth, and God's word is truth, and we believe the truth, or we say we believe the truth, what's the process? And it's like, we're not, why are we failing at it for many of us? And the answer is because we're not processing it very well, exactly for that reason. Hebrews 4:1-2 says, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed it. So there's three elements that we must understand. There is the truth, which is God's word, which we also, not just with our brain, but also with our heart, must have faith for. And what we do is we do that poorly. We don't do a good job of connecting our brain and our heart, or our knowledge and our oomph and our feeling and our processing and our emotional element. And we they have disconnects and they're you know going all over the place. And the whole premise of this teaching is for us to get a better alignment between our mind and our heart when it comes to God's truth. Understanding that it's His Word and understanding that we must embrace it with faith in order for it to be effective. Okay, that is one of the most important teachings. And this is, Jesus taught this 21 times, somewhere in that buffer. And the idea is to understand that faith in God's truth, which is God's Word, will produce results. That's what we got to catch. These are the things we've got to get a handle on. And you might say to me, okay, well, how are we going to do that? Well, that's what the whole next segment kind of leads into. But the idea for you and I to understand is to go, you know what? I do know a lot of truth. I know that truth is God's word because I believe that word is absolutely the word of God. God created the universe. He can write a book. It, scripture defines all the way through His word, His intent, His truth. Jesus Christ raised from the dead, declaring everything that Jesus said and did to be valid. I got it, but there's a part of me that's disconnecting. I need to connect again. That's the key. I need to connect it. Because sometimes after a little bit of time, we get a little bit of flesh and a little bit of old stuck in the dust, so to speak. All right, trivia. Trivia question. Why were Daniel's three friends thrown into the fiery furnace? The answer, they wouldn't bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's golden image. And that's in Daniel chapter 3. Verse 11 through 12. We're going to take a short break. Then we're going to come back and dive into this even more. I know it's tough, but it's just one of the things we got to do because we're trying to get closer to the Lord one step at a time. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, The Christian, here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2. On God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Then he says this, don't be afraid. Why should you not be afraid? Because what fear does is immobilizes a person, stops them from moving forward, and it also eats away at faith. Fear has this way, it's kind of like if you think of faith as, I'll do this now, as a chocolate ice cream that has peanut butter in it. Okay? That's faith. Okay? Fear is like somebody drilling a hole underneath and then taking a little spoon and then pulling some of that faith down, a little scoop by scoop by scoop by scoop. And you don't want your faith reduced because God requires faith to us to engage with Him in. That's His requirement. That's the vehicle by which He has chosen to engage with humanity. You don't think God could have said, "It's me, you're going to believe, or I'm going to turn you into a fish." I mean, you don't think God could have done that? But He chose the vehicle of faith because that's what He wanted from those that would come to Him. A confidence, an assurance in the goodness of God. So Jesus, the first thing He says, ignore it. Don't be afraid of it. And then He does this. One radically crazy, nutsy cuckoo line, just believe. And we use that in movies and in books and in fairy tales and all that stuff. We're not talking about any of that stuff. This is believing, looking at a situation just like Abraham did, just like we talked yesterday, how Abraham looked at the circumstance, didn't deny he was old, didn't deny he was past childbearing, and said, I'm just going to believe God anyway. That attitude of just belief, it's taking a stand in the framework of your faith that says, I'm not moving. Here I am. Call me Bulldog. I'm right here. I'm not going nowhere. My faith is solid.
And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to face a penalty.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. So glad to have everybody on board and hope that the Lord is blessing you today. Stay safe, by the way, in the driving. It was getting better towards the end, but I got on the freeway just as it was just that, the one moment where everybody's like going, I'm singing in the rain. And then it seems like they get out of their cars and dance all over the freeway. That's what it felt like. Here's our next trivia question. That's right. What did Jesus, I'm in a good mood today, huh? Boy, oh boy. What did Jesus say to the sellers, to say the sellers had turned the house of prayer into? Let me rephrase that because I did that poorly. What did Jesus say the sellers, the people that were selling, had turned his house of prayer, the house of prayer, his house of prayer into? What did they turn it into? In other words, it was supposed to be the house of prayer, but they've made it what? Well, I can't really say it. It's in Luke 19 if you need some help. How about that? What did Jesus say the sellers had turned his house of prayer into? What'd they turn the house of prayer into? Eventually, I can say it right. I just know it. Okay. All right. You ready for a joke? You think you're ready? All right. You ready? Okay. All right. Okay. Here we go.
You gotta tell me if it's good first.
I'll do the longer one. I'm not sure it's as funny as the other one, but it's very relatable. How about that? Relatable might be good right now,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
Let's see. This gentleman decided he had to go on a diet and took his new diet seriously, even changing his driving route to avoid his favorite bakery. One morning, however, he arrived at work carrying a gigantic coffee cake. We all scolded him. His friends and him all scolded him, but he smiled and he remained very cheery. This is a very special coffee cake, he explained. I accidentally drove by the bakery this morning, and there was a window where there were a host of goodies. I felt this was no accident, so I prayed, Lord, if you want me to have one of those delicious coffee cakes, then let me have a parking place directly in front of the bakery. He goes, and sure enough, the eighth time around the block, there it was. That's good, right? That's a good one. You like that one?
Yeah, that one's very relatable.
Oh, Lord, I know I shouldn't do this, so if you're in this, will you do this? You know, that's like the, let me just say, that's like the people that are like, you know, we're going to flip a coin, and they flip a coin, right? You ever have somebody do this? Heads, it's this. Tails, it's this, right? Yeah. Then they flip it, but they don't really like the answer, so they go, 2 out of 3. It's like, dude, you already made your decision. Why are you doing it this way? It's so funny. I love stuff like that. All right, trivia question, and I said it so poorly, and you're just going to have to bear with me. What did Jesus say the sellers had turned his house of prayer into? Just going to leave it there. Could keep it straightforward. And if you think you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770 or text 214-210-8483. Okay. Now, most of you are aware, and if you're newer to the show, I'm just telling you right now that I'm, you know, somebody's calling in on the trivia question, so we'll get to that. But most of you know, I'm really for biblical speech, but I'm not for human formulas. I'm for biblical formulas. You know, best as you can follow it, best as you can process it. So after we take this caller, I'm going to talk to you about what I think is the big difference in spiritual or biblical formulas and human formulas. That's a big deal, and we need to know that difference. All right, ready? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Troy again of Dallas.
Hi, Charlie. Good to hear your voice.
Troy, T-R-O-Y.
Oh, Troy. It's Troy. Oh, sorry, Troy. We just talked to you the other day. That's right. I'm sorry I said that. You know, it sounds like Charlie sometimes.
I can't say it like Jesus said it, but he said a den of thieves.
That is correct.
Into a den of thieves or something like that.
That is exactly right. Troy, that's exactly what he did. What he did was they had made it a marketplace, and everything
right.
that was taking place had to do with then profit or it had to do with selling, and it's like that is the last thing you're allowed to do. And that's where, I mean, Jesus, there's many people that think he went too far, but he didn't, because that was the house of God, the temple of God, and they turned it into a worldly system. And it was like, nope, that's it. We're done.
Right. That's well, I was going to a church. Well, I went there for years, and every once in a while they'd have let some people sell something in the lobby, you know, like, I don't know, anything, cookies, cakes, records, or whatever. And I've always thought they'd turn that house into a den of thieves.
Yeah, you definitely got to be careful, because it can so easily switch over. Now, I do know of a couple of churches that I love this idea, they have people that donate things, and then people can come and they'll purchase them, but all the money goes specifically for ministry. Nobody gets anything. It's all just an exchange of way of giving to one another, which I think that part's okay. But these guys were sellers, which means they came in, well, I don't want to say they came in with suits, but
changers,
you know.
I mean, they sell a dove or they change your money into whatever and all that.
Yep, exactly, yeah. Troy. Exactly on target.
Den of thieves.
That's right. Good job, brother. I appreciate it.
He closed them down for about an hour or two, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, just a little bit of a whip. a little bit of random
right,
misdirection.
Take care.
All right, thank you, brother.
Bye.
All right, God bless. I swear, I thought he said Charlie. I feel so bad about that, but that's Troy. So I talked to Troy on the phone. We had a nice conversation. He's a nice guy. And I like that he calls in. I love that. All right, let's go. I want to deal with this, and I want to be honest about it. I want people to really kind of get through this process, okay? So Proverbs 18:21 is very well known, and it says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat the fruit, okay? So the tongue, your mouth, has the power of life and death. People are like, well, uh-oh, Dave, you're quoting Proverbs 18:21. We must be going into, you know, positive speaking. No. I'm not going into positive speaking because I don't think that's how it goes. I think there are times where too much speech that's just blah is blah. There's a reason that Eeyore is on T-shirts, because there's a lot of people that are like Eeyore. Oh, yeah. It's my birthday. I mean, could you get any more depressed? I mean, it's like it's always down. And the point of that is sometimes it can just be way, way too much. However, in Christian circles, there is a real combination that people should acknowledge and should walk in, and that is the truth, which are facts, and the faith, which is supposed to be working with the truth, are things that produce results, and because of those results that are being produced, we're supposed to be believing and trusting and speaking along those lines. And so what I want you to catch is that you and I, unfortunately, often speak down on our own faith. Now, notice what I just said. We speak down on our own faith. When you speak, noise comes out of your mouth. Your two ears are the first recipients. And when you say the same thing I said to the Lord, which he just had mercy and just kind of overrode my stupidity when I said, well, I sure hope that's you. That was my verbal expression of doubt when I was telling that story about the Lord, you know, answering prayer and directing me by the Holy Spirit. I'm doubting when I'm saying stuff like that. And the fact of the matter is, I'm the one that's hearing it. Jeremiah, as a prophet, said to God, when God said, I'm going to call you now, and you're going to go do what I want you to do, and Jeremiah said to God, I can't. I'm a kid. That's what he told God. And God said, don't say that. I encourage you to go to Jeremiah chapter 1 and read it. I'm not kidding. God was telling Jeremiah in the politest way, don't speak about yourself that way. You have a job. You have a commission. You have something to do, and we're going to do it together in partnership, and it's going to be amazing. And it turned out he was one of the most amazing prophets that ever existed. Here's the bottom line, though. Many of us feel that I just can't do this. And we speak that out, and then we believe that more than we believe God. That's the problem. That's the trigger. As opposed to you saying, I want a Ferrari, okay, because that doesn't mean anything to anybody anywhere, but saying, God said he's always with me. I'm going to push past the feeling of loneliness and stand in the truth and confess that to be true because God said it. That's biblical speech. That's Matthew 1. That's Matthew 28. That's Hebrews 13:5. That's Deuteronomy 31:6. That's Haggai 1. You can just go on and on and on. When it's biblical speech, it's biblical speech. We need to know that differential. Now, I'm not talking about when you're ordering McDonald's. I'm not talking about when you go to In-N-Out or get a pizza or a taco or any of that stuff. I'm talking about when you're facing life and you need to have that connection between what you know is truth, what you know is God's word, what you have as faith, and it's just, you know, not working out all around you. You need to use your mouth to help you affirm what you know is truth. Period. That's called biblical speech. Not for personal profit, but for kingdom advancement. Okay? Take a short break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Do you know how you keep going? Do you know how you keep putting one foot in front of the other? Do you know how you don't give up? Do you know how you don't quit even though you want to quit? You fix your eyes on Jesus. You see with God. When Peter went out of that boat and stepped on that water, there is no natural principle in the world, in any normal universe, that would allow Peter to walk on water. But he did one thing well. He looked at Jesus, and as he was looking at Jesus, the Bible says he walked on the water. He looked at his situation, just focusing at Jesus. Then he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he saw the winds and the waves, and he sank. He lost the correct attitude when he stopped seeing with Jesus in the picture. Whatever you see, whatever you face, whatever you encounter, do not see it or face it in the natural. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So everything you see, you must insert the picture of Jesus.
The David Spoon Experience. On Christ the solid
rock I stand. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Get ready for a, well, I hope this is an easier trivia question. How's that? Okay. I'll probably make it a little easier. All right, Kate, here we go. Which tribe of Israel? Now, there's 12 tribes in Israel. Okay, so we're talking about early on. Which tribe of Israel looked after the religious or ordinances or the different things that the people were supposed to do? Which people were kind of like the temple keepers for the 12 tribes? The only hint you get is I have a dog with his name as well. So there you go. All right, there you go. If you can't get it from that, and you know the answer is not Bert. So, Bert the Apostle. No, I just don't think that's... I'm going to go out on a limb and say there is no Bert the Apostle. Ever. I don't even know if in church history there's, you know, many people that have, you know, a lot of good marks. I'm not sure how many have that name. All right, we ready? Somebody ready to answer the question? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Will Rogers.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great. I hope you're better.
I am, and I love that you say that. That's so good. That's a great, great line. All right, my friend, here we go. You got 12 tribes in Israel. You had one of those 12 tribes that really took care of stuff, the religious aspects, the spiritual things that had to take place. Which of those 12 tribes were handling that stuff?
It was the tribe that Aaron and Moses was from.
That is correct. It is called... What's the name?
The Levi.
That is correct! Yeah! 100% correct. What's amazing is next week we're going to start our study on Ezra and Nehemiah, the Ezra-Nehemiah connection. And today in Ezra chapter 8, as I was doing some of my study and my devotion, there's an amazing statement right in the middle of the chapter where it says that Ezra, when they were asked for volunteers, it says that there was not a Levite amongst them. So he had to actually call and ask for help from other Levites to get there. We're going to talk about that, the whole process, the next week. But excellent job. So very, very good. I appreciate it.
You have a blessed day, sir.
All right. Thank you. You too. All right. There we go. Okay. Do you like that, though, the hint?
I was going to guess it if anybody called.
But I thought that was a good line saying it's not Bert, because Bert the Apostle is not really... See, we used to do funny things like that, too. I mean, we used to, you know, it's an epistle. The epistle's not the wife of an apostle. And, you know, Daniel and the, you know, Jeremiah was the laminated prophet. We used to say that. Laminated instead of lamenting. Come on, you, after a while, you got to laugh at some of this stuff. All right, you ready for history? All right, let's rock and roll in history. Let's go live it in the past. Let's go live it. Okay, a couple of these things are pretty good, so we should be aware of some of them. First of all, it is wear pajamas to work day. Okay, so here's the problem. I didn't know that till it was too late. So
same.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that would be helpful for anybody anyway. And I think driving down the freeway in the rain right now in my pajamas, although that might give me a bigger buffer, people might get further away. It is also a mushroom day. I have no idea why it's mushroom day. I think we've talked about this before. My brother absolutely hates mushrooms.
I don't hate it, but it just, yeah.
Oh, they're fungi. Okay, like fungi. Okay. National Stress Awareness Day. This is directly related because it typically April 15th was tax day. So then the 16th was supposed to be aware of your stress. Here is the other one. It's National Eggs Benedict Day. It's my favorite breakfast. I mean, Eggs Benedict, hash browns, either Tabasco, well, usually Tabasco sauce and ketchup. I mean, just that's it. I'm just like, okay. All right. Well, we're gonna take your dogs. Okay. I like that stuff. 1853, on this day, the first passenger rail opened up in India. 1912, Harriet Quimby became the first woman to fly an airplane across the English Channel. So something I did not know. Listen to this. Okay, there's two, and then we'll close it. First woman inducted into the National Comedy Hall of Fame was Minnie Pearl. A lot of people know her from her howdy. She used to say, and the price tag of $1.98 hanging on her hats. I still use some of her material, by the way, just to give you an idea. She was inducted, actually, into the Country Music Hall of Fame in 1975, but she was the first woman inducted in the National Comedy Hall of Fame in 1994. I thought that was interesting. And then in 1955, the polio vaccine was approved and distributed, and Jonas Salk was the person who invented it. He would not get a patent on it. And his answer was, can you patent the sun? No. So you can't patent something that cures people from disease. Too bad the following 5,000 people didn't follow that same kind of mindset. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just... give that guy props. I mean, that's props. All right. Done there. Let's get to this next section. So we're talking about what we say in biblical speech. And again, I want to draw that line, and I don't have a problem talking about it. There's prosperity gospel, name it, claim it. I don't have a problem, by the way, if you are a person that has a greater sense of expectation than other Christians. I think that's fantastic. I think that's wonderful. I think it's entirely different to think that God is a genie or he's Santa Claus. Let's get away from that. Okay, that's ridiculous. All right. Part of our identification with Jesus is going through periods of suffering. In fact, C.S. Lewis wrote extensively about this. So it's like, okay, you kind of get to understand what's really going on there. But we do have a problem with some of the things that we say because sometimes we become our own downer. Have you ever noticed that you can speak to yourself, whether out loud or not out loud, and kind of bring yourself down? It's just something that happens. We do it. So I want you to understand from a biblical point of view that there's a reality to the power of what you say, and I want you to be aware of it in a kind of a proper, is that the right word? Kind of a proper way to bring it about. Romans 10, 5 through 10. Moses wrote this about the righteousness that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. But the righteous that is by faith says... Do not say unto your heart, who will ascend into heaven, as to bring Christ down, who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. Now listen. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. What's Romans 10:9? If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Your mouth is involved in your salvation process. You can't undo the scripture. Okay, you can't change it. Well, but Dave, nothing. Look at the heart, you believe and are justified. With your mouth, you profess your faith and you are saved. That's how the process works. So you see, you know the truth in your brain here, and your heart's got to be the part where you're just getting your faith going. And the connection between the heart and the brain is the mouth, which is located about right in between the heart and the brain. Think that's an accident? You'll find out otherwise in glory. Here's the bottom line. The words that we speak matter, and the speech that we use matters. And our faith is something that's supposed to be spoken. It's not a wish We're supposed to speak it. But that doesn't mean that you take it, like many people do, everything to an extreme. It's the same thing we do deal with demons. You know, demons exist, but not the demon is not behind every rock. Angels exist, but an angel is not behind every rock. You just can't go too far to the right or too far to the left. You're supposed to walk down the middle. Okay. Which means you don't disregard something completely, but you don't embrace it so much that that's all you know. It's like, that's just think of a painting, okay? If you think of a painting and you look up and you move up to that painting so your eyeball is only 2 inches away, you're going to see one little itty-bitty spot, and you're not going to see anything else. If you stand back, you get to see a better vision, a better picture. Stand back some more, you get to see a better picture. You get it to be a better, more comprehensive picture. You can't be focused on one detail if the Lord's trying to show you a picture and you're only seeing the arm of one thing or a color of one. You got to see it all. Get it? I mean, that's really important for us to know. We understand that the words that we use matter. And I think that where they matter the most is towards ourself. So if you're a person that here's a nice way to say this. If you're a person that gets highly offended because somebody, stuff on TV or somebody speaks something, don't listen to it. Change it. Do something different. Or if you want, then keep your atmosphere the way you need to keep it. If you're a person that's like, that doesn't bother me, that's fine. Scripture talks about people that get bothered by stuff and people that don't get bothered by stuff, right? Okay. All right, so I'm just making sure you understand that difference. So some people are bothered by, meat. Some people are not bothered by meat, okay? Just, okay, there's differences. Got it. Work with it. But let your speech reflect what the Scripture says. Let your speech be connected to what the Bible talks about. Jesus talked about speaking. It's not weird to think that, but he didn't talk about that while you were, for you to do that while you're eating French fries, okay? You understand? Does that make sense? I know it makes sense somewhere. Okay, here's what we're going to do. I got one last segment that's really important that kind of wraps this together. Don't forget, somewhere between your brain and your heart is your mouth. Okay, and then we'll exit. We already did trivia because he called in on the trivia answer, right? Okay, good. All right, you're listening to – we're running time, right? You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax-deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
It's because heaven is not some statuesque place where people go there and then freeze. Wait, I'm in heaven. I'm standing. Nope, I can't sit. Wait, no, I'm in heaven. I'm sitting. No, wait,
I can't stand. Where does that kind of concept of heaven come from? Well, is he standing or is he sitting? I'm going to go with he's doing both. He's standing on this one. He's sitting on this one. Over there, he could be doing a Scooby-Doo act. I don't know what he's doing. All I know is that heaven is not about frozen people that don't move. And if we don't get a better handle on what heaven is, we're going to lose our communication of our hope to a hope that's based on 72 virgins, which guarantees you after 73 times, it's not the fun it was the 72 times. It's so ridiculous. And that's the hope we're not winning on? You have got to be kidding me.
The David Spoon Experience.
Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Here we go. This should be pretty obvious where we're going to go with this one. What was James talking about? The instrument in our body that gives blessings and cursings. What body part was he referring to? What body part was James referring to about talking about blessings and cursings? Can't get any more obvious than the question itself. I can't give you anything else on that, okay? What body part was he talking about? He was talking about blessings and cursings. I'm not even going to wait. I knew somebody was going to call right in because there's no way that you're not going to get that. I mean, it's impossible. So I just want to make sure you have that opportunity, and then we'll kind of hammer home the rest of it, and then we'll try and close out with a prayer. I do want to remind you that on Monday, that's a Monday, okay, as far as I know, Monday we're going to be doing Ezra. That means for the second, the 60-minute part. So that does mean that we got a little bit of background information that you have to give, because I don't want to have to keep referring back to it, because there's just – I did not even realize how much there was, and I've never taught it the way I'm going to teach it. So I'm excited to see what it becomes. I just have no general idea. In the meantime, the person's going to be going to answer the trivia. They're going to answer the trivia. We want you to remind you about the website, hemustincrease.org. Go there. And last time I'm going to tell you, because I can't do it anymore, is if you are interested in participating as kind of like has never been done before, a radio audience participating in a doctorate study, I have a very short, no longer than 5-minute form that I would send you. It's got 36 questions. They're kind of based on the Likert graph. So it's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, or, you know, kind of like never, always, that kind of thing. And then if you fill that out, no name published, no anything like that, but you will be welcome to be participating in a study that I'm conducting for Liberty University. And it's something that will be published, but there will be no names published with it or anything like that. The whole idea is for us to find out what areas that the church and ministers need to work on to increase or encourage the body of believers in. So that's kind of like everybody working together. So I hope that makes sense. If you're interested in that, go to David@HeMustIncrease or send me an email, David@HeMustIncrease.org. It's free. I'm not paying anything for it. But it only takes a few minutes. It'll be fun. Okay. Some questions are really challenging, though. I didn't like taking it myself, and I made it. Is somebody ready for the trivia? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, good afternoon, David. This is Al.
Hi, Al. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, good to hear yours, too. Although I listen to you every day just about, so anyway.
I'll get you some aspirin.
All right.
So,
you ready for this answer?
Yeah, let's get to it. What is James talking about? What instrument was he concerned about that has to do with blessings and cursings?
Well, it's that little thing that's in between our head and our heart, or our mind and our heart, that's inside, is the tongue.
That is correct, sir! It is the tongue! Such a small instrument causing so many problems. Right?
You are so correct on that.
That's amazing. That's why I like that reference, like a little rudder. It directs the big ship. It's like, that's kind of how that goes, isn't it? That's sad. But excellent.
Exactly right.
Excellent
job. That has gotten me in so much trouble in my life, I tell you.
I totally agree. I'd say the majority of the things I've done dumb usually start with me opening my mouth.
Exactly. And I mean well, but, you know, she wasn't pregnant. I didn't mean that, you know? So, anyway.
That's excellent. Excellent job, my brother.
All right. We'll see you.
All right. God bless you.
Have a great weekend.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. We have a cool audience. I like the people that text in, the people that call in. They're just fun. Just fun people. All right. Now, I don't want you to freak out on me, and I'm done being apologetic about it. So if you're thinking I'm going to do that again, you're wrong. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death. Where's life and death? In your tongue. We just talked about it. Blessings and cursings. Come on. We got to think about how to do this the right way. Here's what the scripture says. Because really, when you get down to it, I just want to know what God has to say about it. What does God say? Here's what God has to say in regards to our mouth. 2 Corinthians 4:13. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. This is if I was going to write a dissertation on speech, I would use this passage to say our words need to line up with God's commandments and God's truth, and we need to use faith from our heart, understand that truth from our mind, and speak it out with our mouth. I'd base it on this passage. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. And that's how you got to speak. That is not a way of, you know, the way that they've tried to make a confession, the way that they've said that. I'm just sorry. It's just not. What it is when you're going through the dark moments, it is you being able to say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's what it's saying. When it's saying that you're all alone, it's responding to that in Matthew 28:20, when Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's what it's saying. And so we use those scriptures, we use those things that help us connect to God, stay rooted in God, be able to proclaim for God. I mean, for goodness sake, you can't proclaim the gospel or witness unless you're, you know, saying something for the most part. I'm not talking about every single instance, but you know what I mean. We're supposed to be witnesses. Give thanks to the Lord. He's good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Psalm 107, verse 1 through 2. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. Tell your story. You use your mouth to do that. Of course. Well, that's not better. But it's not a formula. It's you just speaking in agreement with God. And the reason that that's important is that agreement that you speak with God is what helps your faith. You hear your own faith operating and strengthens within. The same principle works when you speak doubt and death and destruction. That's why it says life and death are in the power of the tongue. When you sit there and say to yourself, I'm worthless, I can't do it, I'll never get it, I'll never accomplish it, and you just down yourself. That's deadly to yourself. You understand? And I understand people are like, yeah, but Dave, but you know, the definition of insanity. No, that's wrong. That's never been the definition of insanity. The definition of insanity, where that comes from, is 1972 at an Al-Anon meeting where it says trying to do bad behavior over and over again, expecting good results is insane. That's different. Not trying something again and again. Otherwise, people who diet would never keep dieting. Or people who exercise would never keep exercising. It's just so stupid the way that people, you know, process these things. And they make them like rules. Here's what I want you to be aware of. What you say needs to line up with what God says.
Wait. What you think needs to line up with what God thinks. So there's nothing weird about that. What your heart processes through needs to be what God wants your heart to be like. You don't want to have an evil heart or a dark heart. You want to have, what did David say? Create in me a new heart. You want to have the heart in you that's created by God. Your heart, your mind, your mouth. Quite frankly, you can just be honest about it and say your hands, your feet, your eggs, every part of you. It's like, that's right. And God is the one who made you and created you, and he doesn't want you to say things about yourself that he's not saying. Which is why he rebuked Jeremiah for cutting himself down. That was their game that Noelle and I had. Now, we don't do this anymore because now we're too old. But the game was you got three strikes in a 24-hour period. If you say something bad about yourself, strike one. Say something bad about yourself, strike two. Say something bad about yourself, strike three. Then if you got strike three, the other person got some kind of prize. Just work that out. Okay. Let's close it with prayer, and hopefully the Lord bless you throughout the weekend. Father, we come before you. We bless you, and we praise you. We acknowledge you. Lord, I'm going to take a little extra time praying because there's some people out there that are hurting. And I'm just asking you. I'm asking you in the name of Jesus Christ that you might minister to them in their hearts and in their minds, and that out of their mouths, out of my mouth too, God, might come better, more aligned things with your word, that I wouldn't just bash myself and that the audience wouldn't just bash themselves, but we would speak life and not death, that we would be aware that our words have power, and that, Lord, we would speak things that are reinforcing to a closeness to you, not for selfish gain or for self purposes, but for kingdom purposes. And for those that are just hurting and they just need an encouragement in a moment, let these words be their blessing, that you love us and that you think highly of us, and that you're with us, and you will never forsake us. We thank you. We pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 72.5-hour break, then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.